Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast. Come baby come, baby baby come, come.
Matt, this is the last episode of 2022, and I feel like we're going out on a big one. We're going out on, in an alternate universe, this would be the beginning of the end of the podcast, right? This would be like the last album that anyone ever heard from Al, but instead, he kept going. He persevered, and we're going to talk about that in a second, but we've got a return guest that we need to bring into the fold so he doesn't have to sit awkwardly. Jim, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me back here to talk again about Al, you know, a close personal friend of all of ours.
Oh, yes. So true.
Keep it going. Keep talking about this. It's awesome, though, that this is a podcast at the end of the year, because as we get into the next year, as it keeps going, it's like we're ending this year by beginning a new album.
New beginnings. New beginnings. Yeah. This is it. This is it.
So a couple of notes about Polka Party before we dive into today's song. So Polka Party peaked at number 177 on the Billboard 200. It was met with mixed to negative reviews and was considered a commercial and critical failure. Despite this, it was nominated for the Best Comedy Album of 1986, but it lost out to Bill Cosby's Those of You With or Without Children, You'll Understand. The Polka Party is one of the few Yankovic studio albums to not be certified as gold or platinum. Quick trivia question. Do either of you know what the other two albums are that failed to go gold or platinum for Al?
Ooh, no, but I'd love to guess. UHF, are we counting UHF?
UHF is one of the two.
All right, yeah, it had to be that. And, oh God, maybe Poodle Hat?
Those are the two.
Boom. I nailed just it. Flexed my qualifications for this show in front of you all.
I had seen that trivia thing, but I'm glad that you were out there trying it.
That was real. That was real, you guys. That was not staged.
The other thing that's pretty interesting, this album was recorded in three sessions. The first session was on April 22nd and 23rd, which was mostly original songs at that point. So that was Don't Wear Those Shoes, One of These Days, Dog Eat Dog, and Christmas at Ground Zero. The second session was August 4th and 5th, where they did three of the parodies, which was today's episode, Living with a Hernia, Addicted to Spuds and Here's Johnny. And then the final session was August 29th and all the way to September 1st. And that's where they did Toothless People, Good Enough for Now, and the Polka Medley. Yankovic has even described the album as not a whole lot different than any other album I recorded, and said that the process of making this one was quite formulaic. Al did not do a polka party tour for this album.
Really?
No.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Instead, he chose to be the opener for the Monkees.
Oh, my God.
And he said that he later joked that the Monkees were merely agreeing to close for him. which is such a good line.
I've never heard that before. Oh, I'm going to use that on the road for sure.
And, you know, let's real quickly, I want to know your thoughts on some of these reviews. Because if you recall, when we talked about Dare to be Stupid, all the reviews were like, the parodies are great, but these originals have got to go. Who cares about them? But when we were done reviewing the album, we're like, the originals are so much stronger than most of the parodies.
Yeah.
On Dare to be Stupid. So for this one, not much different. AllMusic gave it a 3-star review and wrote, just about anyone will still feel let down by this album. He was also critical of the parody choices, noting that many of the original versions would be forgotten in 15 years, which
correct.
Is absolutely correct.
Correct.
None of the songs that he picked a parody on this album are really
one has really stood the test of time. We'll get to it. Yes.
The Daily Vault gave it an F and described the album as that it seemed like it could have well been the last call for Weird Al Yankovic. He criticized the album and said that both the parodies and the originals are not very good, and it felt like Yankovic was just going through the motions. Rolling Stone actually rewarded it 3.5 stars, which means that it's tied with Off the Deep End and Running with Scissors as the best rated album from Al on Rolling Stone. You know, obviously Yankovic was kind of disappointed that this album didn't do well. He said that he also thought it was the end of his career. He figured he had peaked at Eat It and Like a Surgeon.
Yeah.
And then people were starting to forget about him. But then Even Worse came out, which I'm so excited for us to talk about Even Worse after we finish Polka Party. That is still his best-selling album. And he realized that was the day he realized a good career is full of peaks and valleys. And sometimes you're in a valley and you just got to wait for the next peak. And, you know, that's just some good, wholesome.
I love those stats. The only other thing, I think I might have said this before, but when I saw Al on the last Vanity tour, he played a song from this record, and we'll talk about it when we get to it. But before he played it, he said, this is one of my favorite songs I've done on what has to be my worst album. So by Al's own admission, on stage, he said that he thinks Polka Party is his worst album.
I don't know if I agree.
I mean, it was also kind of an off-the-cuff, you know, stage joke to make, but he did say it, which surprised me that he would so openly be like, yeah, this was my lowest point.
You know, this is as great. I don't know if it's a seg into it, but there's a lot of history I was looking up that I felt that we could maybe talk about that leads us to Al and Polka Party. And I wonder if the reason it's all that is because maybe in a way he was sort of forced to do this album.
Yeah.
Maybe before, like maybe it had to come out of the oven sooner than he wanted it to, based off of the success of Dare to be Stupid and the success of In 3D before that.
Yeah.
I'm sure the record label, and I'll get a little bit into it because I think it makes a lot of sense as it kind of ties out there. They might have just been like, yo, you got to keep striking while this iron is hot, like the Beach Boys method or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It is
two brand
noting
new records every year or some kind of thing.
Yeah, it is worth noting that he, you know, there were the occasional times where you'd have like one album out 1 year and another album out the very next year. But this is kind of the end of that streak where it was like self-titled in 83, In 3D in 84, Dare to be Stupid in 85, Polka Party in 86. Like, yeah, he released 4 records in 4 years. That's a lot of work. And then it's like, you know, Even Worse comes out in 88. And then, you know, right off the heels of that is the UHF soundtrack, but then it's another year or two before Off the Deep End. There's a year gap before Owlpalooza. There's a 3-year gap before Bad Hair Day. And then the gaps widen more and more from that point. Then it's like every 3 or 4 years, you're getting a new Weird Al record. And now it's been almost a decade.
But presumably those gaps are probably, that's probably Al's choice and request. I mean, I think he, all of this stuff takes time to gestate for him. It's this must be this weird combination for Al of like, giving ideas time to form while also needing to be so on the pulse that you're parodying something very current. It has to be this, you know, it must be this real sweet spot for him where it is that instant spark of idea and be like, I know how to do this now. And having all of that coincide. I mean, there's a reason why Al had said after the last record came out that he thought he was done with albums, because the idea of turning around something culturally relevant fast enough in the context of a 10 plus song album was getting harder and harder for him to do. So he was like, I'm just going to do songs. He hasn't even really done that many songs. Yeah, no, I mean, the pressure from a label to just crank out this stuff like this must have been incredibly, it's almost an impossible request. It's like, be inspired now to parody this thing that's popular right now.
Well, right. And then here's a really important note, because I think that you're both onto something.
Yeah.
And as we talked about with Dare to be Stupid, there's at least one, if not two things that the Scotti brothers forced his hand to do. And that is the case with this song.
Yeah.
Right. When it came time to pick a song to parody for the lead singer of Polka Party, Scotti Brothers Records had some very strong ideas and wished to have Yankovic parody a musician who was currently signed to their label.
Let me get into that, Matt.
Yeah.
That's a whole part of this whole story, man.
Yeah.
And why it's so important. So, like, okay. So, a couple of things that we sort of mentioned that I just wanted to touch on before we dive real into it. And Living with a Hernia as it started, how we even got there. This is the first song on the record.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here today. But you mentioned with Polka Party being 177, 177 on the Billboard chart. I mean, obviously that's pretty low because it's 200. But I mean, I think we know another certain podcast guest that would probably trade anything to have a record that's 177 on the Billboard chart or whatnot. But the reason why that is so like a miss for Al is because I looked it up and I saw that Dare to be Stupid was at 50. And then In 3D was 17.
Yeah.
So it'll go 17, 50 to 177.
Yeah.
People are going to definitely think that that's like a miss.
Oh,
or
big
a hit
time.
Or whatever. Even if it's.
I'm sure from Al's perspective, Dare to be Stupid was something of a step down, but still a hit. You know what I mean? Like he didn't have. It wasn't Eat It levels of success, but Like a Surgeon was big enough that it wasn't a flop. It was like, oh, this didn't quite hit the height of In 3D, but it was still like, you know, no one's going to be furious at him for it. But this is like. This is a major fall.
Right, it's true. Well, and it's in a way, it's premeditated.
And
Matt was kind of talking about it, and this is the case. All right, so let's go back a little bit before Polka Party even existed, to the winter of 1985 with a little movie called Rocky IV that had taken over, the world by storm, because it was one of the first movies that was ever put out during the Thanksgiving break. And so it just crushed all these records of just like... Everything about Rocky IV, everybody was ready for it because Apollo Creed came back. He was fighting Drago and, you know, we all that goes. And the main song of that movie is Living in America by James Brown.
Yes.
Which happens to be a Scotti Brothers artist. And the Rocky IV soundtrack was on Scotti Brothers Records.
Yeah.
So
I want to throw out one thing that is not tied to any of this, but sort of. If you remember... Way back on the In 3D album, we were talking about The Eye of the Tiger. And in that episode, I was like, I swear I felt like this song was written for a different movie and then got picked up by Rocky. I just the other day figured out what it was. I had the facts slightly wrong. It was that You're the Best from Karate Kid was written for Rocky III, and Sylvester Stallone turned that song down and then got Eye of the Tiger in its place. And then that song got shopped to Karate Kid, also in the year of 1984. But yes, I just, super random thing that I literally was reading a book about the summer of 1984, and that factoid was in the chapter about the Karate Kid.
There's another one. I'm not sure if you have this, Jim, but another thing I noted for Rocky IV, according to history, apparently Peter Cetera wrote Glory of Love for Rocky IV, and that got turned down. And he wound up giving that to the Karate Kid too.
Is the entire
How
Karate Kid soundtrack just rejected?
It's
Rocky
rejected
songs.
Rocky songs. But also, like, I mean, my God, it gives you an idea of like how big these Rocky movies. The songs coming out of the Rocky soundtrack series is mind blowing. Even the ones rejected are so
huge. We're talking
huge.
About the Rocky Karate Kid relationship in this exact same chapter that I read. The book's called Glory Days, How the Summer of 84 Changed Sports and Pop Culture.
Yeah.
It's a great book. But they talk about, because the director of the Karate Kid was the director of the first Rocky movie, and Sylvester Stallone walked up to the director, because Sylvester Stallone directed Rockies 2 through 4 and said, hey man, you ripped off my movie idea, because The Karate Kid is basically like high school Rocky.
Yeah.
And the director said, well, you've only ever had one good one, so it was worth stealing.
Ooh. Ooh. That's gotta sting. Bird. That stings.
Lance, okay, so the soundtrack for Rocky, okay, back with Rocky 4 though, to even show this, it was the number 3 grossing film of 1985, and it came out in Thanksgiving of 1985.
Yes.
And so I did the adjusted inflation, and the movie grossed $300 million, which today would be $794 million.
Wow.
Which is how big this was. So the soundtrack was out, you know, most of 86, it's burning up the airwaves, or at least songs and stuff from it, because it's the soundtrack peaked at number 10, and then the album was the number 65 album of 1986.
It peaked at number 10, just 167 slots shy of where Al hit with the parody Living with a Hernia.
So with Al being on Scotty Brothers, Scotty Brothers was saying to him that he picks one of their artists, right? But then when the soundtrack with James Brown, who signed to Scotty Brothers, puts this song out and it's a hit, I mean, it became, so it's, so a little stats on that was, it entered the top 40 on January 11th, 1986, and then it stayed on the chart for 11 more weeks. So that's like 3.5, I mean, it's 3 months, but yeah, it was playing before that. So it's like 4 solid months of people just hearing this thing where the song peaks at number 4. And it was James Brown's first top 40 hit in over a decade. It was also his last top 40 hit that he ever put out. But because it was so huge, it was nominated for 2 R&B Grammys, where he actually won for Best Male Vocalist and performance and all that. And that happened at the 87 Grammys, which has been in January. So this thing must be like everywhere, the song.
Yeah.
And then Scotty Brothers is like, well, you got to do the number 4 song in America as your parody.
Of course. And
like,
yeah. And
got it.
And for people who don't like, I mean, just to really make this as clear as possible from Scotty Brothers' perspective, I mean, Al is big. Al has had some real success, but clearly, especially at this moment in time, the success of these Rocky soundtracks that Scotty Brothers are releasing is off the charts huge. This is enormous. This is like a cultural mega moment. And from their perspective, they're like, hey, if Al does a parody of a song on this record, like the rights, the fees that Al has to pay is just going back in Scotty Brothers' pocket.
Yep.
It could not be a better cross-promotional idea. I mean, not artistically. It's a nightmare. But from their perspective, they're like, this makes total sense if we have
and
him parodying.
The Yankovic bump.
We're parodying ourselves. Yeah, they're giving themselves the Yankovic bump. Exactly, Matt. That coveted Madonna Yankovic bump. Exactly.
And so that was it. So that's why that was the first, I mean, it was the lead single from this album, which is basically a year after the album, or a year after the movie came out. So we're already like, living in America for an entire year before we start living in the hurting.
Yes. And that is a great explanation for why this song is a single, kind of against all. Honestly, before we started, when we were doing the prep for this episode, I legitimately forgot that this was a single. Like, I saw online there's a music video. I'm like, there's not a music video for Living with a Hernia. And I looked, I'm like, oh, there is. I completely forgot.
See, this is one of those classic cases, because I was not a guy who watched sports movies as a kid. So I knew Living with a Hernia before I knew Living in America.
Yeah.
For me.
I don't think I'm the case on this one. I feel like I definitely, this was late for me. I don't know. I guess I didn't have this record at a young age. This is not something like we talked about all these compilations. Interestingly, another Polka Party fact, there's only one song on Polka Party that made it on
his Essentials
record.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So I did not hear this in my youngest Al days. This was something I found later. Yeah.
Right. Nice. That's. I'm like Matt. I actually knew Living with a Hernia before.
There you go.
Song.
Yeah, no.
So that's why I was, it's one of those things where I was like, oh, there's another song that this came from?
Yeah. So they. All right. So I do want to say that a few things. First of all, Al wasn't against this as much as he was with like doing Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
He went on the record and said that it was actually a thrill to do James Bond because he's a total non-dancer. He never even
James
went
Brown.
To dances in high school.
James Brown.
Sorry, James Brown. James, he was a big
fan
of James
Bond. That was a great misspeak. Yeah.
It was a real thrill to do James Brown.
Breaking news on our podcast, Weird Al is the new James Bond. We've just gotten the word.
He never went to any dances in high school, so he was excited to like analytically dissect the dance routine in order to figure it out. He also researched all the different types of hernias. That research shows a lot stronger in this than his duck research did.
Yeah, he actually did put some time into this one. I do respect that a lot.
So there's two notes. First of all, my very first note is tied to the music video, and it just says, there are not words that can be described to explain how thankful I am that Al did not try to look more like James Brown.
Oh my
with
God.
Quotes around it.
Oh my God. Like, I totally agree.
I watched both these videos this morning just to double see. And okay, so with this video, Al is basically recreating the video of Living in America.
Yeah.
Al has recreated this video where anytime they show things of America, they're showing people with hernias.
Yeah.
And anytime they show James Brown, Al looks like James Brown. He's wearing James Brown suit. He's dancing like James Brown. They are on the exact same stage of this whole thing that they do the Living in America video with. Al shot Living in with a Hernia on the same stage.
Yeah, they got the same set and everything. Setup. Yeah.
I guess Matt is just saying that he's glad that Al didn't take it the extra mile.
Well, he does. Yeah. Al has like, to look like he James has Brown. Like some sort of prosthetic teeth or something.
Yeah.
He has like fake teeth that he's wearing for like an enormous smile. Like James has. That's the extent of it, other than wardrobe,
which is all I need from Al.
Which is great.
That is the right call.
Talking about a career-ending move, that might have been especially 100%. In hindsight. At the time, maybe nobody would have cared, but now, looking back, yeah.
Right, light years before Tropic boy. Thunder.
Yeah, truly.
Like well before.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
Jim, I think you and Chris and I have all talked about the fact that because of this song, we know way more names of hernias than any one of us should have business knowing.
Brother, I was just wondering, are there like doctors in America that have passed exams because they know all of the stuff on the song?
I can categorically tell you that I have passed at least one geography test in high school because I knew all the words to the Animaniac song, where it's like United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, yeah. Republic of Dominion, Cuba, Caribbean, oh, nice. Greenland, Osamuda, yeah. Costa Rica, Colombia, Venezuela, French Guiana, and still Guatemala, Bolivia, and then Argentina, and then French and Chile, Brazil. So yes, I think that they were like, oh man, what are the different types of hernias that you can get?
Yeah, it's probably not enough to get you a medical degree, but it'll help you on one exam.
That's right.
Yeah, if you find yourself in school, one very specific exam, you're gonna be like, I got it. Thank you, Al.
You're ready to open the hernia clip.
Exactly.
So the video is insane. So like the video is like weirdly sped up and like creates such a bizarre visual. Like everything feels like they said, Al, you're going to move slowly and then we're gonna speed this up so that it syncs up more beautifully. Yeah. But like, it creates such a strange visual. Like, and I think it helps his dance moves. Like the way he's dancing is hilarious.
Yeah.
Throughout the video, but even like when it's just showing him in his day to day life with his hernia. Like even my favorite shot in the entire video, him bowling with a hernia where he just
goes
up to the line and drops the ball. But that's even sped up. Like everything is sped up in this video. It's so weird.
It was awesome. I watched a video this morning. I probably haven't watched a video in 15 years. I was cracking up. I was like, this is so great. If you haven't seen it out there, you got to do yourself a favor. Pop it up. It didn't even have an ad come up before it. It just went right into it.
So. Yeah, it just started. It's odd to me because, as we're talking about it now, I'm thinking like, I enjoyed this, but maybe not as much as you guys, because I did think this is an odd video for me in that it seems like both, it's very high budget. It looks expensive. Again, they went back to James's original set. This is like a bunch of people. I think they actually filled a room to shoot this video. But also in a lot of ways, it's like somewhat, it's expensive and also like slightly uninspired to me. Like it's very straight. It's very straight. Like that it's just him doing James's dances. And it's funny, don't get me wrong. But it's and then it's just the various shots of him in pain in public.
The scenes of him in pain are way better.
Which now I'm describing it and I'm laughing, so maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't want to give away too much here, but this is not going to be ranking high on my music video list by any stretch of the imagination. But there like I said, him bowling got me. I'll say the funniest part of the concert footage is, you know, everyone knows the infamous James Brown, not to be confused with James Bond, only an idiot would do that, where, you know, James is too tired and he's bent over and they bring the cape on him and then he dramatically has his second win. It's the Hulk clap in wrestling, but like James Brown always kind of needs that like Hulk up moment in the middle of his live performance. It's become a calling card for him.
Yeah.
When Al does this, when this guy throws this cape on him, I don't know what stuntman they hired to play the cape guy. This dude goes flying off camera when Al jumps back with a second burst of energy, and it fucking crushes me when it happens.
I know what you mean. Yeah, no, that is really good. Yeah.
The other thing, the video that's funny is, I mean, I'm sure this was on purpose or whatever, but like, you know, when they read the top hernias that you can get, right? Mm-hmm. It's the top 10 hernias of the week. But the song only has 9 hernias. And the shot is you don't even see number 10 on the chart. So it's just like there's a mystery hernia. You don't even know what it is. And they read all of them and you can see them, but there's never number 10. So you don't know what that one is.
Well done. Well done, camera crew. But yeah, I mean, the song, I will agree with you, Matt, that this is not uninspired is a great way to describe it, because as funny as this is, and again, I'm looking at like my list of the parodies, and this is definitely more researched, and like this is not like a phoned in forced parody by any stretch of the imagination for Al. Like he put in the work. Don't know if it's one that holds up to repeat listens like something like Yoda or I Lost on Jeopardy or like a Surgeon, right? Like those are like ones that for both of us are in our top 3 right now. And I think for good reason is like you can still listen to that song and the humor of the song hits when it's the 100th time that you're listening to it. I don't think that living with a hernia benefits from repeat listens, which is possibly also why this album did so bad, is like you hear the song once and you're like, yeah, I get it. And then you don't need it in your collection.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, for me, the comedy of this whole thing is the idea that I think I'm guessing Al's thought process on this was like, okay, James Brown is someone who in his songs regularly yells, ow. So how funny would it be if the song was about that he did that because he's in actual physical pain the whole time? Which, again, as a concept, I love. I actually think that's really a funny idea. But I think the funniest part is that. More than anything in the lyric of the song. You know what I mean? Like it's the concept of it is the best part of the gag. And then when you hear the song, you're like, yeah, exactly. Exactly that.
It's also one of those songs where the video, certain elements of the song are funny because I'm thinking of the video when I hear it. But like, you know, like the big one for me is when he goes, wait a minute, because it's like this shot of him like slowly dancing off the stage and then realizing that there's, wait, I forgot something.
Yeah, exactly. And all of those things are great because that's all so James Brown. His the random vocalizing and stuff. I'm not sure how much of James Brown's catalog either of you have heard, or you, the listeners. But if you go especially through his like deeper cuts and some of his older like just like funk dance songs, it is basically like his band comes up with a groove and James is just kind of like talking slash yelling stuff.
I was going to say prime example
at
is
both
Sex
the band
Machine.
And at the audience at the same time. Like he's literally while the band's playing, he's like, I don't, what do you think? Should we go to the bridge? Take it to the bridge? You ready for the bridge? Maceo, bridge? This guy is insane. Yeah.
My prime example is always Sex Machine.
Yeah.
Because like if you actually tried to look at what the words to that song are, it's literally just get on up, stay
get
on
up,
the scene like
up,
a sex machine.
Yeah.
Song is 7 minutes long.
I know. And it and also like, musically, very little happens. It's a single groove and it just loops. And it's honestly like, I mean, and that we didn't talk about this yet, but like I love, love, love James Brown.
Yeah. No,
another,
I would never skip that song.
Another
if that's
interesting
song
side note
one,
is,
I'd be like, all right, I'm listening to this for 7 minutes now because
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, yeah. And as much right. as I love James Brown, Living in America is not my favorite James Brown song. It's fine, but it's not amazing. It's not the sort of James Brown song that I want to hear when I want to listen to him.
No, and that's case in point to the critic who said like these songs are going to be forgotten in 15 years is like, as Jim said, this song like dominated the year 1985. But I think if you lined up a bunch of people and said, name me three James Brown songs, I don't think Living in America would pop to a lot of people's minds. They'd be like, you know, Superbad, Sex Machine, I Got You.
Even I Feel Good is still like has so much more prevalent now. Yeah,
this is a classic case of like, Al tackling a great subject, total wrong song for Al to be doing.
Right, but you know, his hand was forced in a way because he was thrust upon him to make a parody of a smash hit song of 1986 that he had to put out in October of 1986 as this thing had been literally dominating. I mean, I'm sure that people, you know, okay, let's think of songs today that we can't, don't want to ever hear again.
Oh, Uncle
Crackers Follow Me. I don't ever want to hear that song again. Lighthouse.
That was the first one you said. Really made me laugh.
I would refer to songs as having the Uncle Cracker effect, which is
that's a good
they
example.
Come out and they're super popular. You're like, oh my God, I can't stop hearing the song. And then it hits the top and you're like, I never want to hear this fucking song ever.
So true.
You're
so
right.
True.
He's had a couple of those because Smile by him was like the exact same case. That song was like everywhere for a summer. And then everyone was just like, yep, we're done with this one.
One that might just be coming back now, and I don't even want to say that it is Lifehouse Hanging by a Moment. That was a song that you couldn't I know I like the song but now, but like, dude, there was a time in your life that you could like, come on,
no, that
Stank,
was
the reason.
Inescapable. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you know I hate Hoobastank the Reason. That is one of my least favorite popular songs in music history.
Good friends of mine, watch it.
Hoobastank the band, no problem. Crawling in the Dark, fucking banger. The Reason has never been a song that worked for
That's
me.
That's totally fair. I think if Hoobastank, were here right now, they would understand.
Like, and I think that that was a fine song that as it was like the number one song for multiple months, I was just like, okay, come on, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure that just in the case of, as I mean, I was alive in 1985, but I was 5 years old. No, I was 4 years old when this was coming out. I guess 1986. So I was five in 1986. I wasn't cognizant of the radio, so this probably was missing me absolutely completely in terms of how much this was on. But as we were saying, with it being on the radio for 11 weeks, and then once it's like, it's, you know, songs that are on the radio now that are high rotation, they play them twice an hour, maybe.
Yeah.
So like you're hearing it for 11 weeks, twice an hour, then it becomes a recurrent where you're going to hear it once a day or whatever. And then James Brown is nominated for the 1987 Grammy. You just like couldn't escape the song. And then Al comes out with his, you're just I bet by the time it came out,
it probably wasn't
that people didn't like Al or appreciate his take on it or whatever else. They were probably just like, I don't want to hear this song again in a different form for another 12 weeks.
Yeah. They were just done. I get it.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
No, I don't blame him either. I don't blame him either. Also a side note really quick. Like this came from a time I remember in my childhood. And it's funny because, again, I don't think I knew this song when I was especially young. I don't have a memory of hearing it at a young age. But remember that this is like a great time period where, for whatever reason, people just decided that hernias were funny.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing with comedy. We've said before about how, like, in Al TV and stuff, like, you go back to the 80s and just the concept of sushi was a punchline.
Yeah. It's look at just, this. Right? Yeah, it's fish and it's not cooked.
It's all little, yeah, it's just weird bits of, I don't know, it's just interesting, like, relics of comedy there for me where it's just like, hernias were hilarious. I remember I had a cousin who at a young age had a hernia, and I just was like, ha 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 ha. And he was like, this is very painful. It's not funny at all.
Yeah, this is the worst thing that's ever happened.
I was like, oh, sorry. I just thought it was funny. I was told this was funny.
Right. And I was told that living with a hernia was funny. But does it rank well on my overall parodies from Weird Al Yankovic? Jim, this is insane, but I'm putting this right next to another one of your picks. So I'm putting Living with a Hernia literally just above King of Suede, smack in the middle between I Love Rocky Road and King of Suede.
Oh, nice. Well, okay. Well, that seems fair. And I would put this definitely below King of Suede. Now, granted, I know that I'm more into King of Suede than maybe most people that listen, or one Chris Fafalius, who apparently hates it. But... well, I think that you ranked that correctly in a way. I mean, I would put this one below that because of that other one, but I think it's in the right spot. And also, I don't think King of Suede is like his greatest parody ever. At the time that I was ranking it, there wasn't too many that we could choose from. So now there's more in the mix.
You know what? As we get deeper into this show, I think we need to just normalize the idea that just because someone is on as a guest for a song, it's not because it's their favorite of all time song.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because otherwise we're going to struggle to get guests for a chunk of time.
Right. No, but yeah. I think, you know, just in terms of the way this stuff goes, I mean, look, if you're really going to analyze it, I mean, he definitely did the work on this parody in the sense of like, it's, I mean, like,
there's a reason. There's a reason why I put it higher than I Want a New Duck, because he put in the work way more than I Want a New Duck. And I put it higher than Girls Just Want to Have Lunch because this doesn't feel as begrudgingly forced upon him as the recording of Girls Just Want to Have Lunch feels. So, like, I think that of all the songs that I feel like had been forced on him, this is the one that you got the best overall result out of. But I'm curious where Matt is going to rank this with his parodies.
Yeah, it's going to be in the same ballpark as you, although... I guess I'm going to put it very, very close. I'm going to put it just above Another One Rides the Bus.
All right. So under
King of Suede, but above Another One Rides the Bus.
And real quickly, let's knock out the music videos. I'm going to put this just below I Love Rocky Road and above This Is the Life. So pretty much right at the bottom there.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it being in the bottom, and just in the sense of like of just what it is. But I mean, it is very funny. It's funnier it's funnier than This Is the Life, only because also that has a lot of that movie in it too, as like the video.
I forgot.
You're talking to one of the biggest This Is the Life fans I know for that music video, who ranked it as his fifth favorite music video. So
I was actually going to say, I'm surprised that you have it so low. I don't know why I like the This Is the Life video. I don't know. I can't believe that's a hot take. I'm surprised. You know what? This is at the bottom for me.
This is the very bottom. All right.
This is at the bottom of my videos. I was tempted to put it above Rocky Road, but no, I like it, but it's something about it just does not 100%, just doesn't quite do it for me.
Gotcha.
I do laugh. I enjoy it, but Rocky Road has some charm that I feel like this one is missing.
Yeah. Well, that's black and white.
Yeah,
they open the door.
You know
and
what? That does. Yeah,
and it's sick.
There you go. That's true.
All right. So, Jim.
Yeah.
It's a new album. So let's make sure the audience is aware of the guest rankings, because it's been a while since we've really ran these down. So, at number one for best Al, whatever, based on the guest rankings, is One More Minute. Yoda is at number two. Like a Surgeon is at number three. Girls Just Want to Have Lunch is at number four. Hooked on Polkas is at number five. Nature Trail to Hell is at number six. Eat It is at number seven. Slime Creatures from Outer Space is at number eight. I Lost on Jeopardy is at number nine. King of Suede is at number 10. And It's Still Billy Joel to Me is at number 11. First, where are you putting Living with a Hernia?
Well, okay. So since I had just said earlier, it's below King of Suede for me. I think it's at the end of that list where we're at, because all of the songs you read, I like more than this one. So
including It's Still Billy Joel to Me?
I think that That one's just so funny.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm. It. So you're putting Living with a Hernia all the way at the bottom of the list.
It's a great song. It's a great parody. It works in the sense of why, I mean, you know, we were kind of talking about with it. Like my connection with the song or just the album is as a, 11-year-old kid cutting the grass or whatever. That's what I was like listening to on my Walkman. And I think because we were talking about the James Brown, like I was not familiar with the James Brown catalog at the time. So I'm hearing a song that sounds awesome because it's basically a James Brown song.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love this. This sounds great. It's talk about hernias, which are hilarious. And
as we universally agreed, hernias are hilarious. If you have a hernia, you're laughing.
Exactly. So I'm like, how would I
You're literally busting a gut
song?
Over how
You're
funny it is.
There it is. There it is.
You did it, man.
All right.
But yeah, as we're looking at it now for the historical record educationally with the other songs we've looked at in the catalog, et cetera, I can put it down where I did. But that's still pretty high. That's still like top 15 or
right? Yeah, it's 12 out of 12 so far. So you know that you also get to move something that you think is completely in the wrong, whether it's move a song down a couple pegs, move a song up a couple pegs.
Even though I like it, I'm moving Slime Creatures down below Living with a Hernia. So that's going to be at the new bottom of the list.
There you
with
go.
With Hernia, one up above it.
There
but
you
that's
go.
Great. I mean, look, Slime Creatures is great. I'm not hating on it. I guess maybe I am because I'm moving it. But look.
Look, I'm a fan of the fact that you did a move that pushed I Lost on Jeopardy higher up, because I Lost on Jeopardy, in my mind, is way too low on that list.
I love our guest rankings so much. I just have to say it. Like, chaos. the game of the moving of other people's picks is just so insane. I love that you put yours at the bottom, which was like, oh, wow, low is, but then put something else underneath. Like, for, I don't know. It's just such chaos.
It's called 3D chess.
Yeah.
Have we gotten any updates on and of listeners out there that are finding a way for us to be able to play the Weird Al?
I was just going to say, we needed to end with this note, Jim's game, for those of you who missed the King of Suede episode, right? It was King of Suede, where we discovered that Jim has a long lost Weird Al game on floppy disk. old big floppy disk.
That's right. 5-inch.
We are actively searching for someone in the world who can help us digitize it for
actually
the modern age.
The yeah.
I was recently hanging out with my friend Rat Bear, who I co-created this game with, and he was very excited that we'd be even talking about it or know that we still had a copy of it, but he swears that there's no way that we ever finished that game and that there's gonna be no ending to it. But I don't know, but I definitely know that we wrote a parody song that's inside it. And I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but it is a parody of Let's Get Rocked by Def Leppard. But I don't remember what it is. I think it has something to do with socks and laundry, but I don't remember because it's inside that game.
This has to happen.
It might have been something like Let's Wash Socks or something like that. I don't know, but it was definitely Def Leppard. I know that's what
people in my life who have said to me, just totally separate of anything, like I run into them and they go like, so is there any progress with that game?
Oh, man, nice.
Like, people right, are really wait. Invested in this.
This might literally come down to us having to, like, find a 1995
I've been thinking about that. And there was, so back, because, you know, back whenever I made this on an Apple IIgs, they were abundant in our school district. I can't imagine that school district just put them all in a dumpster. I have to feel like they have to be living in a storage unit or something.
They are somewhere.
Living in an area.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like, though, my understanding is that even if someone had one of those computers that could actually play the floppy disk, getting it off of that and in a place that other people could see it is so hard, because those computers are just, they were not designed to like go on the internet or have other storage media connected to them. Like, getting it out of that box is like the hardest part of
that's the thing that makes me wonder about what would happen if we had a way to have this game work, is because I know that Apple IIgs had to run so slow that if you were to put it into something like today that has like a whatever Intel microprocessor, shout out Dave Goldstein, my friend that works at Intel, it's got to be 40 million times faster than what that Apple IIgs was.
Yeah, we'll finish that game in 2 minutes.
Even like, yeah, just be like, like, I don't know if it would. Yeah, I don't know how it would even work. Probably wouldn't even play. But what's going to play, because we're going to figure it out. Somebody out there who's a computer collector who's got that Apple IIgs sitting at their house, let's do this. Come on. Huh. Right in. Let us know.
Maybe we won't be able to stream it live, but maybe we'll be able to at least set up a video camera and film the playing of this game.
Yeah.
Needs to be played once.
Seriously, because we did do some search. Like, if you are listening to this episode and you know somebody who knows somebody who has one of these, like, get in touch with us and help us make this happen. Yeah. And it might be the ultimate Geraldo's vault opening that we get this disc to someone and it just loads an error screen. But I need closure on this.
Yeah, we need to know that we have exhausted every possibility.
Too many sleepless nights.
Yeah, in getting this game played.
I mean, we'll figure it out. And the thing is, what I'm nervous about, but maybe we can bring ourselves to it, is I don't necessarily want to send it somewhere, because what if I send a disc somewhere and then we like, you know, it gets
I know
lost
this is a one time thing where I totally get that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is literally like Matt makes a road trip from New York down to Philadelphia so that we can just all the three of us play this.
We're going to carry this in a locked box. It's going to be like a heart transplant.
You just wear it around your neck on a gold chain after this.
It's a security detail following me.
All right.
It's going to be perfect.
Well, Jim.
It'll be what takes this podcast national.
Yeah.
Jim, do you got anything else you need to promote before we wrap this up?
I mean, the usual suspects of promoting, if you're out there and you're a creator and you want to do something creative, like raise money to record an album or maybe make a documentary or do something fun, I run a Kickstarter agency to help people run Kickstarters. You can check us out at enjoycraftservices.com. Or if you're trying to listen to new music, you should listen to some Punchline, because they've got new music, they've got old music, they've been around forever. So check out Punchline. You know them, you love them. That's about it for now. I mean, in the future, I may have more things to plug and talk about, but for now, that's tried and true.
Great.
All right. Well, we'll see you again when we get into the 90s edition of Al. And
I can't wait. I've been thinking so much about Al and all these things that are going on, but I don't want to jump so far ahead, because it's like, it's so fun to talk about this stuff while it's like, we're talking about Polka Party as if nothing after Polka Party.
I know. You know I mean? Like that too.
So it's
I really do.
It's hard to be like, oh, well, how could you forget about Alapalooza stuff? But it's like, no, that didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I heard someone say this on, I think it was the Gilmore Guys podcast. And the one host, Demi, was like, I have literally only watched every Gilmore Girls episode one time. But because every time that I watch an episode, I have to talk for 3.5 hours about it, I feel like I know more about any given episode of Gilmore Girls than people who've watched those episodes 1,000 times. And I'm starting to feel that way with Weird Al information, where it's like the fact that we are literally taking 30 to 45 minutes every song to like meticulously dissect and look into it. I feel like anytime Weird Al comes up, I'm just like, I've got about a billion facts for you that are just living rent-free in my brain now.
We get really into it. And in this episode, we covered a lot of ground. We didn't even talk about the common types of hernias that you could get.
No.
Let's see.
You got to listen to the song to get it.
Incomplete.
Matt, if you did it, could you do it? So it was like, you may not be familiar with the common types of hernia that you can get.
Do you know them, Jim?
So
go.
Just settle down. Let me clue you in. There's incomplete.
Epigastric.
That's like bladder. Strangulated. Rictus hernia. Lumbar hernia.
Lumbar hernia.
Rictus hernia.
Obstructed.
Inguinal.
Inguinal.
And direct.
Very good. Jim,
you could have passed that test. You could be a doctor.
All the hernias. So you guys, if you're feeling unwell and you think it might be a hernia, just go call Jim.
Come on down to my clinic and we'll get you fixed up.
Thank you for that.
Thank you guys. Thanks for having me. I hope to be on again.
You
have
will.
A good one.
Nice.
Later, fellas.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.